Hey everyone, ready to ditch those endless weekends of mowing and weeding?
Sounds good to me.
Today we're diving into a gardening method that's perfect for, well, anyone who's short on time or money, but still wants a garden that's absolutely bursting with life.
Exactly. We're talking about creating a Blumenwald. It's Dutch for a wildflower meadow.
Okay. I'm already loving the sound of this. Blumenwald, it's like music to a busy gardener's ears.
Right. It really is all about embracing a wilder, more natural aesthetic and kind of flipping the script on traditional gardening.
So instead of those perfectly manicured lawns and those flower beds that just seem to need constant attention,
you're letting nature take the lead.
I like it. Low maintenance, high impact.
And way more budget friendly too. This source actually points out that a wildflower meadow is so much cheaper to create and maintain than a traditional flower border.
Oh, I believe that. Those flower borders can be real budget busters sometimes. But I have to admit, when I hear wildflower meadow, I kind of picture a completely wild, untamed space.
I get it, but it doesn't have to be a complete takeover.
So there are ways to kind of rein in those wildflowers and make them work in a more traditional garden setting.
Absolutely. The source actually suggests creating islanden, which are like islands of wildflowers within a regular lawn.
Islanden. I love that. It's like creating little pockets of wild beauty.
Right. And it's a really great way to control the spread of the wildflowers and just give your garden a more intentional design.
So you get that wildflower charm, but without sacrificing that sense of order.
Exactly.
All right. I'm sold. Where do we begin?
Well, first things first, we got to talk location.
Makes sense.
The source really emphasizes that thoughtful planning is key, especially if you have neighbors.
Yeah, we don't want those wildflowers staging a hostile takeover of the entire neighborhood.
Exactly. You really want to think about how those wildflower seeds might spread and take steps to contain them.
Okay, so what kind of strategies are we talking about here?
Well, the source suggests a couple of options. One idea is to create like a buffer zone around your meadow.
Oh, okay, a buffer zone?
Yeah, you could use a flower-rich lawn that'll kind of help contain those wildflowers, or you could go with something a little more defined like a wall or a fence or even a paved edge.
Okay, so some kind of physical barrier to keep things tidy.
Exactly.
So location sorted, what's next? What about the soil?
All right, soil prep. This is where it gets interesting.
Okay, lay it on me.
So the source recommends a technique called omkuppen if you're starting the new meadow from scratch.
Omkuppen? I'm intrigued. What is that all about?
Basically, it involves turning the soil over to bury the existing topsoil.
Okay, now that sounds like a lot of work. Is it really necessary? Couldn't we just scatter the seeds on top of the existing soil and call it a day?
Well, it's all about creating the right conditions for those wildflowers to really thrive.
Okay.
And believe it or not, they actually prefer a nutrient-poor soil.
Hmm, that's interesting. You'd think they'd want all the nutrients they could get.
Right, but it actually helps prevent the grasses from taking over.
Ah, so it's like we're giving those wildflowers a competitive edge.
Exactly. And burying that nutrient-rich topsoil helps to create those ideal conditions.
So omkuppen it is. Now, the source also mentioned something about mixing in sand or loam or clay.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about mimicking the natural soil conditions in your area.
Ah.
You know, different regions have different types of soil. So by kind of creating a soil composition that those native wildflowers are used to, you're just giving them the best chance of success.
Makes sense. All right, soil prepped. We're ready for those wildflower seeds.
Almost. There's one more step in the soil prep process that's super important.
Oh, there's more. Okay, tell me more.
It's this really cool technique called valsabed, which translates to false seedbed.
A false seedbed. Okay, now I'm really curious.
So basically, you're letting the weeds germinate first.
Wait, we're encouraging weeds. I thought the whole point was to get rid of them.
I know it sounds counterintuitive, but trust me on this one. You're basically giving those weeds a head start.
Okay.
And then just when they think they've conquered the territory, you remove them before sowing your wildflower seeds.
Ah, so it's like a preemptive strike. We're outsmarting those weeds before they even have a chance to take hold.
Exactly. It's especially important if you're working with a richer soil because you know those weeds are going to be even more eager to take hold in that kind of environment.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've tricked those weeds, soil's prepped. I think we're finally ready to talk about the stars of the show.
Yeah.
Those wildflower seeds.
Yes. Let's talk about those.
Any tips on where to find those precious seeds and what to look for?
Absolutely. The source recommends finding reputable online suppliers who specialize in native plants.
Native plants, that's key.
Yeah, it's all about supporting the local ecosystem.
And choosing organic options whenever possible.
Yes. You want to avoid any unwanted chemicals and just really support biodiversity.
Okay, so Native organic, what about the seed mix itself?
Well, they recommend a blend of perennial, biennial, and annual wildflowers.
Ah, okay, a mix of different
Oh,
types.
yeah.
And that's to ensure continuous blooms throughout the season.
Exactly. You'll have something blooming from spring all the way through to fall.
Now, what about grass seed? Should we be mixing that in as well?
You know what? That's the beauty of this. You don't actually need to buy any grass seed.
Oh, really?
It'll naturally find its way into your meadow blending with those wildflowers to create a truly natural look.
Wow, that's amazing. Mother Nature always lending a helping hand. Okay, so we've got our seeds. We're ready to get them in the ground. What's the best way to sow them?
Okay, so there's a little twist here. The source suggests mimicking the natural freeze-thaw cycle
Oh.
by putting your seeds in the freezer for a few days before sowing.
Wait, seriously? We're giving those seeds a little cold shock therapy.
Yep. It might sound strange, but it helps boost germination.
Huh. I learn something new every day.
It's all about giving those seeds a head start on their journey to becoming beautiful blooms.
I love these unconventional tips. Okay, so we take our seeds out of the freezer, head out to our prepared patch, and then what?
Okay, here's a pro tip. Mix your seeds with some dry sand before you scatter them.
Oh, why is that?
It's a couple of reasons. First, it helps you see where you've already sown the seeds.
Ah, so you don't end up with like a super dense patch in one spot and then nothing in another.
Exactly. And it also makes those seeds a little less appealing to birds.
Ah, so it's like a little camouflage for those tiny seeds. Okay, smart thinking. Anything else we should keep in mind when sowing?
If you have a lawn roller, give the area a good roll in three directions.
Okay, and what if we don't have a lawn roller?
A good walk around the area will do the trick.
Got it. All right, seeds are sown. We've done our happy dance. Now we wait.
Exactly. We'll mostly wait. You'll want to keep an eye out for any unwanted weeds during that germination period.
Of course. We got to stay one step ahead of those pesky weeds.
And then get ready for the grand finale, the first mowing.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. But wait, this is a wildflower meadow, right? Do we really need to mow it?
We do, but not in the way you might think.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Ditch the lawnmower for this one.
Okay, no lawnmower. So what do we use?
The source recommends using a scythe or a brush cutter to cut the grass high, leaving those precious wildflower leaves untouched.
So it's more like a gentle trim than a full-blown haircut. I'm guessing there's a reason for this specific technique.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about giving those wildflowers a fighting chance. By cutting the grass high, you're preventing it from dominating the meadow and allowing those beautiful blooms to flourish.
Okay, I'm seeing the strategy here. But what about all those clippings? Do we rake them up like a regular lawn?
Not so fast. Here's another unconventional tip. Leave those clippings to dry for a few days before removing
Oh,
them.
really? Why is that?
It allows any insects that might be hiding within those clippings to escape.
Ah, okay, so we're not accidentally creating insect traps.
Exactly. And it also lets those wildflower seeds disperse naturally.
Wow. Every detail is so carefully considered. It's like we're creating a balanced ecosystem.
Precisely.
And there's actually one more mowing technique that the source mentions that I think you'll find interesting.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this.
It's called gefischert mähen, or phased mowing.
Phased mowing, what does that mean?
So essentially, you leave a third of the meadow untouched each time you mow.
Wait, seriously, we just leave a whole section to grow wild.
Yep. It might sound a little messy, but it's all about creating a safe haven for those insects who call your meadow home.
Ah, what is that? It's like creating little wildlife sanctuaries within the meadow.
Exactly. And when you mow again, you choose a different section to leave untouched. So there's always a refuge for those beneficial critters.
Brilliant.
Okay, so we've covered location soil prep, sowing those seeds, and the art of mowing a wildflower meadow.
We have. It's quite a process.
It is, but it seems so worth it. Now, before we go any further, let's circle back to those islands we talked about earlier. Those islands of wildflowers within a lawn sound like a great way to kind of dip my toes into the world of wildflower gardening without going all in.
They are, and they're not just a visual treat either.
Oh.
Creating these islanden actually injects valuable biodiversity into your garden.
So it's like we're creating these little mini ecosystems.
Exactly. You're supporting a wider range of insects and pollinators.
I love that. It's like having these little pockets of wild beauty that are also doing their part to support the local ecosystem. But how do we actually create these islanden? Is it as simple as choosing a spot in the lawn and scattering some seeds?
Well, there's a bit more to it than that. You'll want to follow the same soil preparation steps as you would for a full meadow. Remember, turning the soil over to create that nutrient-poor environment is key.
Right. We got to outsmart those weeds and give those wildflowers a fighting chance.
And when it comes to choosing locations for your island in, think about areas that might benefit from a little extra color and texture. Maybe a corner of the lawn that's looking a bit bare, or along a pathway to create a welcoming entryway.
Ooh, I love those ideas. It's like adding little bursts of wild beauty throughout the garden.
And speaking of adding beauty,
yeah.
What about those early spring bulbs we mentioned earlier? How do they fit into the whole wildflower meadow equation? Ooh, here's where you can really have fun with layering. Imagine those islanden bursting with color even before the wildflowers start to bloom.
Oh, I like where you're going with this.
Planting early spring bulbs like crocuses, snowdrops, and bluebells adds another dimension to your meadow.
It's like a bonus round of blooms.
Exactly. Plus, you're providing those early nectar sources for pollinators, which is always a good thing.
Okay, now that's an idea I can really get behind. More flowers, more beauty, more food for those early pollinators. What's not to love?
Yeah.
But I have to ask, how do those early spring bulbs fit into the whole mowing strategy? Wouldn't we risk chopping them down when we do our first mowing?
That's a great question. But no need to worry.
Oh.
Those clever bulbs will have already finished their blooming cycle by the time you're ready for that first mow.
Oh, wow.
They'll be safely tucked away underground, storing up energy for next year's display.
It's like they have it all figured out. So to recap, we've covered location soil prep, sowing those seeds, the art of mowing, and even added in those extra layers of beauty with islanden and early spring bulbs. Anything else we need to know before we unleash our inner wildflower enthusiasts?
Well, the source does offer some valuable insights into ongoing maintenance, which is key to ensuring your wildflower meadow thrives year after year.
Okay, maintenance. That sounds a little intimidating. Is it going to require a lot of time and effort?
Not at all. Remember, the whole point of a wildflower meadow is that it's low maintenance.
That's a relief.
The source emphasizes simple tasks like keeping those fallen leaves cleared away.
Oh, right.
Because they can block sunlight and add unwanted nutrients to the soil.
Got to keep that soil lean and mean for those wildflowers to thrive. What else?
They also stress the importance of never fertilizing your wildflower meadow.
Ah, right. Okay. Because those wildflowers prefer a more Spartan environment.
Exactly. Fertilizing will only encourage those grasses to take over.
Got it. No fertilizer, keep those leaves cleared away. What else?
They also have some advice for dealing with moles.
Oh, moles. Those can be tricky.
They recommend avoiding the use of compost or mulch because those can attract the worms that moles love to feast on.
Ah, so that's all about disrupting the food chain. Keep those moles away by keeping those worms away.
Exactly. And, you know, they also remind us that moles actually play a beneficial role in the garden.
Oh, they do.
They help to aerate the soil, which can be helpful for those deep-rooted wildflowers.
Huh. Okay, so moles in moderation can actually be your friends.
They can indeed. And finally, they touch on the importance of dealing with soil compaction.
Soil compaction?
Yeah, it can happen if the area gets a lot of foot traffic.
Okay, right.
And they recommend using a garden fork to kind of loosen up the soil and allow those wildflower roots to spread freely.
So if things start to look a little too packed down, it's time to get out the garden fork and do a little soil fluffing.
Precisely. And if the soil compaction is really severe, it might be worth calling in a professional to aerate the soil more thoroughly.
Okay, good advice. Wow, we've really covered a lot of ground today, haven't we?
We have. From choosing the right location to dealing with those pesky moles.
This source has been a treasure trove of practical tips for creating a beautiful and low-maintenance wildflower meadow.
It really has. And, you know, I think the beauty of this approach is that it encourages us to work with nature, not against it.
I completely agree. It's like we're inviting nature to be our co-creator, allowing those wildflowers to paint their own masterpiece in our gardens.
But before we get too carried away with our wildflower dreams, there's one more important point from the source that I think we should highlight.
Oh, yes. They do address the issue of prolonged drought, which can be a challenge for any garden, but especially for those trying to establish a wildflower meadow.
Right, because even though those wildflowers are tough and can handle those dry spells, they do need some moisture to get established right.
Exactly. And while they generally advise against adding any extra nutrients to the soil, they do make an exception in cases of severe and persistent drought.
Okay, so what do they recommend in those situations? They suggest stubbing a very thin layer of compost, no more than half a centimeter over the soil after mowing, and preferably right before a rain shower.
Ah, so it's like giving them a little boost during those tough times. But they emphasize that this is only a last resort, right?
Absolutely. They really stress that compost should only be used sparingly and in those extreme cases, because it can tip the balance in favor of those fast-growing grasses.
Okay, got it. So even in drought conditions, we need to remember our ultimate goal: to create a thriving wildflower meadow, not a lush green lawn.
Exactly.
And I think that's a perfect note to end on, wouldn't you say?
I couldn't agree more. This deep dive has been a fascinating exploration of the beauty and practicality of wildflower meadows.
It really has. And it's a perfect example of how we can create stunning and sustainable gardens that require minimal time and effort.
Exactly. And remember, even the smallest patch of wildflowers can make a difference.
So to all our listeners out there, I encourage you to embrace the beauty and the ecological benefits of a wildflower meadow. Experiment, have fun, and watch as your garden transforms into a haven for both you and the creatures who share our world.
Beautifully said.
Now that we've covered all the essential tips and tricks for creating a thriving wildflower meadow, let's leave our listeners with one final thought-provoking question. How can incorporating even a small patch of wildflowers, whether it's a full-blown meadow or just a few islanded, transform your garden and contribute to the bigger picture of local biodiversity?
It's something to think about. That's such a great question. You know, it really gets to the heart of why wildflower meadows are so special.
It's about so much more than just the aesthetics, isn't it?
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our gardens can be these vibrant habitats, you know, these little pockets of life that support a whole web of interconnected species.
And even those islanded, you know, those islands of wildflowers that we talked about earlier, they can play a pretty big role in all of that, can't they?
Absolutely. Every single wildflower makes a difference, you know.
So even if we can't create a full-blown meadow, just planting a few wildflowers here and there can still have a positive impact.
Absolutely. You're creating these stepping stones for pollinators, you know, providing nectar for those butterflies and bees, and you're offering shelter for all those beneficial insects that help to keep our gardens healthy.
It's incredible to think that such a simple act like planting a few wildflowers can have such a ripple effect.
It really is. You know, we tend to think of conservation efforts as these big, grand gestures, but the truth is that real change, it often starts right in our own backyards.
I love that. Yeah. Every little bit counts.
Exactly.
So to all our listeners out there, I want to encourage you to embrace those wildflowers. Embrace the beauty. Embrace the ecological benefits. And even if you can only manage a tiny island tucked away in a corner, it's still a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And have fun with it. You know, experiment, see what works in your garden, and just enjoy the process of creating a space that's not just beautiful, but also beneficial for the environment.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the why behind wildflower meadows, but let's get practical for a minute.
Okay, sounds good.
What are some of the things that our listeners can do to ensure that their wildflower meadows are a success?
Well, one of the biggest things is just being mindful of the soil.
Right. We talked about soil prep, but is there anything else we need to keep in mind once those wildflowers are established?
Yeah, the source emphasizes the importance of ongoing maintenance. You know, just a few simple tasks to help those wildflowers thrive year after year.
Okay, so what kind of tasks are we talking about?
Well, one thing they mention is keeping those fallen leaves cleared away.
Oh, right. Leaves. They can be a problem, can't they?
Yeah, they can block sunlight, and they can also add unwanted nutrients to the soil, which, remember, we're trying to avoid with those wildflowers.
Right. We want to keep that soil lean and mean for those wildflowers to really flourish.
Exactly.
Anything else we should be doing?
Yeah. They also stress the importance of never fertilizing your wildflower meadow.
Ah, right. Because fertilizer is basically like a feast for those grasses.
Exactly. And we definitely don't want to encourage those grasses to take over.
Got it. No fertilizer. Keep those leaves cleared away. What else?
They also have some advice for dealing with moles.
Oh, moles.
Yeah, they can be a bit of a nuisance, can't they?
They can.
But they recommend avoiding the use of compost or mulch because those can actually attract the worms that moles love to feast on.
So it's all about disrupting the food chain. Keep those moles away by keeping those worms away.
Exactly. And you know what? They also remind us that moles actually play a beneficial role in the garden.
Oh, they do. I always thought of them as just pests.
I know, right? But they help to aerate the soil, which can actually be helpful for those deep-rooted wildflowers.
Okay, so moles in moderation can actually be our friends.
They can indeed.
Interesting.
And finally, they touch on the importance of dealing with soil compaction.
Soil compaction, okay.
Yeah, it can happen if the area gets a lot of foot traffic.
Okay, right.
They recommend using a garden fork to loosen up the soil and allow those wildflower roots to spread freely.
So if things start to look a little too packed down, It's time to get out the garden fork and do a little soil fluffing.
Precisely. And if the soil compaction is really severe, it might be worth calling in a professional to aerate the soil more thoroughly.
Okay, good advice. Mm-hmm. Well, we've covered so much ground today, haven't we?
We have. From choosing the right location to dealing with those pesky moles, it's been a wildflower whirlwind.
This source has been a treasure trove of practical tips, and I have to say I'm feeling pretty inspired to create my own little piece of wildflower paradise.
Me too. And you know what I think the most inspiring part of all of this is just the idea of working with nature, not against it.
I completely agree. It's about letting go of that need for absolute control and allowing those wildflowers to do their thing.
Exactly. It's like we're co-creating with nature, allowing those wildflowers to paint their own masterpiece in our gardens.
I love that. But before we get too carried away with our wildflower dreams, there's one more important point that I think we should touch on.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Drought. You know, even though those wildflowers are pretty tough and can handle dry spells, they do need some moisture to get established.
That's a great point. And while the source generally advises against adding any extra nutrients to the soil, they do make an exception in cases of severe and persistent drought.
Okay, so what do they recommend in those situations?
They suggest spreading a very thin layer of compost, no more than half a centimeter, over the soil after mowing, and preferably right before a rain shower.
Ah, so it's like giving them a little boost during those tough times.
Exactly. But they really emphasize that this is only a last resort.
Okay.
Compost should only be used sparingly and in those extreme cases, because remember, it can tip the balance in favor of those fast-growing grasses.
Right. We don't want to undo all of our hard work.
Exactly. So even in drought conditions, we need to keep our ultimate goal in mind, to create a thriving wildflower meadow, not a lush green lawn.
I think that's a perfect reminder.
I agree. Right. It's all about keeping that balance, finding that sweet spot where those wildflowers can really thrive.
And you know what? I think this whole conversation has really highlighted just how much power we have as gardeners.
Yeah.
You know? Even small choices, like planting a few wildflowers or choosing not to fertilize our lawns, those choices can actually make a difference.
Absolutely. It's all about shifting our mindset, you know?
Yeah.
Moving away from that idea of controlling nature and embracing a more collaborative approach.
It's like we're becoming stewards of these little ecosystems.
Oh, exactly. And the rewards are immense.
They are. I mean, a garden that's not only beautiful, but also teeming with life. It's just magical, isn't it?
It really is. And you know, it's not just about the visual appeal either. There's something so calming, so grounding about being surrounded by nature.
I completely agree. It's like a little escape from the hustle and bustle of everyday life.
Exactly. And it's something that we can all create, you know, no matter how big or small our gardens are.
So to all our listeners out there, I encourage you to give it a try. Experiment, have fun, and let those wildflowers work their magic in your gardens and beyond.
It's been such a pleasure exploring this topic with you today.
Likewise. This deep dive has been a real eye-opener. And I have to say, I'm feeling pretty inspired to create my own little wildflower haven.
Me too. And I think that's the perfect note to end on.
It is. Remember, folks, every wildflower counts. So let's get out there and make our gardens and our world a little wilder, a little more beautiful, and a little more full of life.
Well said. And that's a wrap on this wildflower adventure. Thanks for joining us. And we'll catch you next time for another fascinating deep dive.